Welcome, everybody, to another exciting episode of The Light of the Southwest. I'm Eric Espatia.
And I'm Holly Espatia. Shalom. Welcome.
Welcome, everyone, back to another episode here. And we always are having so many exciting guests join us from all over the world. And today is no exception. We have Mr. Michael Clayton joining us all the way. Well, where are you, Michael, today in the world?
I'm in Franklin, North Carolina, which is where I've been residing for about 7.5, actually almost 8 years. Yeah, right at 8 years.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation. It's great.
Yeah.
So, Michael, we met once before when you were doing a Join to Hashem Ministries back in 2008, 2009. We were at a Love for Israel conference, and I remember distinctly some of the speakers. You were one of the speakers there, and you know, after the breakout session, there was always a sort of what's for sale or the marketplace and kind of just things, a way to support your ministry. And back then, I remember distinctly that you had a lot of survival gear. And I thought it was, you know, the message that you were spreading was like, be prepared. You know, we want to be prepared for what lies ahead and whatever that is. And I feel like that message is still even very much an important message today. What are you doing today to be prepared?
Okay, well, I did teach that and kind of became the messianic survivor man, is what somebody called me. But I did from about 2007 or 8 until about 2014. I did teach a Torah-based survival class. Actually, not survival, I guess. Well, survival is good because the opposite is, well, it's death. And being prepared is something I pulled out of my Boy Scout time as an Eagle Scout. So I put together something that wasn't made for us to all turn into Rambo, but the basic common sense things of just being prepared for what comes along in life. And so it was called Torah is Life, and was about spiritual, emotional, and physical preparedness in that order. And so I taught that for a number of years. And then I said to the side, today, you know, everybody and their mother's dog has a video on survival. So I just felt like that time was over. And, you know, it was more about the spiritual survival, because, you know, we can have our life, but if we are not prepared spiritually, we're really dead men walking anyway. So, kind of moved on from there. And but in the backdrop, it doesn't matter where I've been for the last over 25 years. Interesting, we met at a Love for Israel conference, because that's a theme from the beginning, and it is today also.
Amen.
Yes.
And so your ministry, Joined to Hashem, can you tell us a little bit about that, what you're doing these days?
Okay, well, we began in 2003, and the basis of our ministry is to teach the faith and obedience to the one true Elohim, the one true God, that you know, faith produces obedience, and obedience should produce more faith, and kind of that continuum that we go on to. But our ministry is based upon a number of things. First of all is Messiah. Number two is our, what I call, pursuance of the Torah. I'm still trying to figure that one out, you know. As much as I think I might have it down, I'm still just pursuing it. That's what Joshua was told. When we go to the book of Joshua, he was told, you're to pursue this Torah. And in doing so, you would find the revelation of Messiah. And so it's about our Messiah. It's about the Torah. It's about a love for the land and the people of the land. And so I just returned actually it's a couple of weeks now. It seems like an eternity. I returned from Israel, my 33rd trip to the land.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
33 once in a lifetime trips to Israel. It's overwhelming. I look back at my first tour in May of 1998 and thinking, You know, I mean, I was pastoring a Southern Baptist Pentecostal Charismatic with Messianic Zionist leanings church in a crabbing community in North Florida in 98.
Wow.
Israel. Yeah.
Wow.
Jewish people. I mean, we just didn't have a lot of Jews coming to buy crabs.
Good point. Yeah. But now you do a weekly podcast with people from the land. Can you tell us a little bit about your podcast that you do?
10 years ago this week, I was honored to meet a man who has become not just my tour guide in Israel, but also a friend and brother. He was just here in Franklin speaking to our congregation, Life Assembly. I also pastor a congregation here, small group. But so Hanok Young is an observant Jew who has this crazy thought of, let's just see if we can come together as two sticks of, like, you know, Ephraim and Judah and all that spoken of in Ezekiel 37, and do so without strings attached. Nobody's trying to persuade each other. And we've just kind of come to this place of, there's a verse in Jeremiah that we live by that is talking about bringing us home. Okay. And we can talk about that later of our definition of home. But it says, he will bring us home. And as he's doing so, he will correct us.
Mm.
And this is like, you know, in a family, I've got 3 children, 7 grandchildren. And I've noticed something, that if the children are always correcting each other, mm-hmm. it's confusion mm-hmm. and chaos. Mm-hmm. It's the mm-hmm. father's job the perfect world, okay,
of
marriage and families. It is the father's job to correct. And so why don't we just allow that to come into our spiritual lives with each other? And so Hanok and I have worked this relationship out, and we've had a great time with it. And Hanok is my tour guide in Israel. Just amazing, amazing man. He made Aliyah, I think, back in 2009. Went over, became a tour guide, which is very difficult. And he's the best I know. And I know everybody goes to Israel, and, you know, my tour guide is the best. Well, after 33 times, I think I can say mine's the best.
Yes. And so you do a podcast.
Okay.
So you do a podcast with Hanok?
We do an Israel update. And that's available. It's about a 30-minute program. And we're not trying to do the news, okay? Uh-huh. You can go to, Times of Israel, every Sheva, I-24, text blogs for them. And you can get the news. There's all kinds of other people. There's also a lot of goofy stuff that's out there that people shouldn't be watching, that is basically like the National Enquirer kind of thing, you know? I'm kind of tired of hearing prophecy right now when people are dying. That's just another subject for us. But Hanok and I do an Israel update every week, and it's kind of the news behind the news. It's it's our personal lives sometimes. It's people on the street that Hanok has run into, interactions that I've had. A lot with the war going on, sometimes it's, our nickname is like 2 men crying. We just cry through the program because of, we do a lot of work with the IDF in Israel. And one of the brigades that I work with just lost a commander on Shabbat, this past Shabbat. Yeah, it's not easy.
No.
So yeah, that's my Israel update. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I did not know about that, so I will be signing up for that. Is that available free of charge, or how does that work?
Yeah, everything that I have. And I'll kind of unpack this a little bit. I do 4 broadcasts a week. Living Torah, which is my flagship program, I've been doing since 2003, and you might want, people want to think, okay, I'm going to teach them how to live Torah. No, Living Torah is out of the book of John, Yochanan. The Torah became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's looking into the Torah, how is there the one I believe to be Messiah, son of Joseph, and will return as Messiah, son of David, to see him in the Torah, which Psalm 40, verse 7 says, behold, I am coming in the scroll of the book, it is written of me. And so if we're studying the Torah, but we're not seeing Messiah, maybe we're missing the point. I don't know. So I do that broadcast on a weekly basis. I do the Israel Update, Foundations for Life, with a good friend of mine, Barry Phillips, pastor of House of David up in Gloucester, Virginia. And also I do a broadcast, a podcast also, with called Life on Purpose, with myself, my son, Daniel Clayton, Ryan Cribbs, and David Covert. And so that's focused toward the youth, young adults, but we let anybody watch it. So that's kind of what I do on a weekly basis here.
Yeah. So I was curious then, because you mentioned your 33rd trip to Israel and what you're doing, you know, with your updates weekly about Israel. So in my mind, I'm going, wow, what does your 33rd trip to Israel, how does that even compare to your first trip, where I'm sure things were peace-filled and, a whole different world. So what was this last trip like?
Well, my first one was I wouldn't say peace-filled, because it was chaotic for me. Being raised Southern Baptist and then leaving the church when I was about 14 and not coming back into any relationship with the Father at when I was about 28, different denominations and things I went through. I remember coming from Nazareth in the bus, and we'd come over the top, and I look out and see the quote unquote Sea of Galilee, and I'm thinking to myself, that's not a sea, that's a lake. Not really a big one where I come from. And all of a sudden I noticed that I got tears streaming down my cheeks. Aww. And the land reached up and grabbed me. Yeah. And I came back and I thought to myself, I looked at the scripture and I said, I don't know a cotton picking thing about this. I am from the South, so I can say things like that.
Yep.
Southeast, by the way. I started looking, and I tried to take the Baptist eyes, the denominational eyes, the American eyes, just try to take all that out and start studying it from a Hebrew basis. And, that's what I've done for over 20 years now, 25 years now. Mm-hmm. I've taken hundreds of people to Israel on tours. As I said, our tour is not about, if somebody wants the go visit the Holy Land tour, ain't mine. I'm not really into where Constantine's mother went. We do a very biblical tour. We got the scripture in one hand and we're teaching. Literally the first stop we have is Elon Moray, which is in Judea, Samaria specifically. And it is the area of where Abram was brought to and told, I will give you this land. And we're standing on possibly the same hilltop.
Wow.
Shem. There's the Mount of Blessing. There's the Mount of Curses. There's Itamar. There's, that's where we stand. And we come in the same as Abraham did, except for we have an airline instead of a camel, which I find much better travel. So it's a very biblical tour. This one, I had to cancel one in November because of obvious war.
Right.
I can't take a tour in right now. Airlines and hotels, and the hotels are filled with those that are displaced. One hotel I stay in Jerusalem, the downstairs, I called my wife, Kathy, and I said, it's like a kindergarten. There's children everywhere. And it's windy, it's cold, it's rainy. They can't go outside.
Goodness.
The hotel staff that I've known for years, they're apologizing. And I finally told them, just quit. Apologizing. These people don't have a house to go back to. I do. At one point, they one of the ladies apologized. She said, Mike, I'm so sorry. We have disposable plates we're using. She said, within 2 weeks, we were out of plates. They were all broken. You have those heavy plates that are in Israel, ceramic and then ceramic tile. And you know, a child drops one of those for 3 years and breaks. So the hotels are filled with people that have been displaced. Everybody has a story.
Wow.
Everybody has a story. You know, I've been there long enough that these are not just acquaintances of mine. You know, people like Udi Morotz and the Cardo at the Blue and White store, Moshe Kempinski and Dove at Shoreshim, the person who was a former mayor of Itamar, him and his wife are very close friends. The wineries, I worked with Haya Vela for 2 years. So I was there on the Mountain of Blessing. These are friends.
Yeah.
And everybody has a story.
Yeah.
Everybody has a story of someone that's died. Someone that was in at the concert, of someone that was taken hostage. A 13, 14-year-old young man is telling me about his friend that walked into a synagogue and the atrocities that he saw. I don't know, Eric, Holly, I don't think I've cried so much in 1 week, a week and a half of my whole life.
Wow.
We hugged people. We donate, I give. We're not a large organization, but we give everything we can. And people have been so wonderful to give. Most of what I do is not advertised. Most of what I do, I don't like when people say this because it sounds fishy to me, but I just can't talk about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of behind the scenes stuff, and it's dollars going directly to people. I mean, you know, the only conversion we have in this is shekels, and you know, the money's going directly to the people. We don't take out anything, even service charges. When somebody gives me a credit card, we don't take that out. We take that and I give it directly to the people. And I don't ask anybody what they believe, by the way. If anyone ever wants to, you know, send me an email and say, well, is this being sent to believers? I don't ask a person what they believe. I ask them what they need.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it. I don't really care from there. But, you know, to sit with moms and dads, with uncles, and hear the stories, I was honored. Because of a flight delay, I believe totally and completely in divine appointments.
Yes.
And I know you guys do. I was in Atlanta, scheduled fly, weather, was socked in, FAA flight control, delayed flights. I can't make it out. My wife came back down to Atlanta, 3-hour drive to get me. And it was pretty quiet in the car coming home. To tell you that I had total faith that the Father was going to work it out, no. I still falter in that one. Something inside of me knew that only He could orchestrate this. And because of that, it took me a week to get another seat on El Al. And I got there a week later. But because of that, there was an IDF unit of about 500 soldiers that was doing a gathering to honor those who had fallen. And the commander who have, you know, I've worked with this unit, and they invited me to go down there. I spent the evening with 500 heroes. I didn't understand English, I don't understand English. Sure. English.
Hebrew.
Southern's my first one, but I don't understand. There were people, nice, there were some that understood English, some that thought they did. That was fun. But to be in the room with about 500 soldiers that had just two or three days earlier came out of Gaza, and most were going back within the next 48 hours. Mm-hmm. I told people this at our congregation. I've never felt so small in my life. At first I got there and, you know, I'm kind of one of six civilians in the room, and, you know, some are trying to communicate. And finally I just stood in the corner and just watched and just wondered what these men and women had gone through. And, mm-hmm. you know, I get up in the morning. First thing I do is I look at the news. And as I go to the typical stations that I do, or the typical websites that I do, I hold my breath. And because I know some of these soldiers, I know the units, and I hold my breath until I see that none of their names are there, and then kind of go on with the rest of my day. So at one point I just stood in the back of the room and just looked around and, you know, wondering what have these men seen, these men and women, what they've been a part of, and what were they going back to? 14 of their unit had died, and they lit candles for them. And it was just an amazing night. I'm sitting there listening in Hebrew, and I told some of them, I said, I don't really know what's been said tonight, but I know what's been said tonight.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God in the room transcended the language barriers that we had.
Wow.
Oh, man. I know for me, I'm a prior mm-hmm. service member, mm-hmm. U.S. Air Force, but and oftentimes we hear about different wars and things going on, conflicts around the world. And it's news. It's just over there, right? And you just hear about it and you kind of skim over it. Mm-hmm. But since October 7th, I felt like this was home. And for us, we've been walking with the Lord in church, following, you know, the Holy Spirit, following his Torah since 2005, 2006. We've been walking in Torah. And when it says, like, you know, you're grafted in to this root, I feel like if you're truly grafted, this hits really close to home. And it's not just news over there, but this is a direct attack on us, our family, and who we are a part of. And for us, we've been just like, how do we get the news out? How do we share? And you being there, boots on the ground, and being able to observe it like you did, how amazing is that? And as you're telling the story, I'm getting the chills, just going, wow. Can you know the heart. I watched this video where they showed one unit, and there's hundreds of people, and they're just singing a song, "I'm Israel Chai," and you're just like, you know, there is no other place for us to go. Where else can we go? This is our home. And you're just like, man, I wish that, you know, I could be there fighting and contributing alongside. And I think on some level we all can contribute personally, you know, fighting the Hamas and the Amalek within ourselves, but also how do we get involved, and how do we bring resources to people who need it? And you see so many of these fake foundations out there that take funding and they funnel it to the other guy, you know, the other side. And this could be misinformation. Please don't take it. Please check it. But you see even places like the Red Cross not really fulfilling what their job is to do here on for Israel. You see all these other UN-based organizations who are taking money and just giving it to you know, one side and not the other. They're very biased, but you know, through ministries like yours, we can get resources to people directly. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much for doing that.
You know, I agree with you on the Red Cross, by the way. We had a tornado come over our house in 2010 in Oklahoma, and they were going around the neighborhood throwing $1,000 gift cards to everybody. And then what they've done in Israel, and then the UN, My favorite bumper sticker I saw in Israel, UN unwanted nobodies. everywhere they go, they're up in on Mount Bentall. Supposedly, they're observing the northern border. What I saw them observing was anything but the northern border. It was basically tourists. I'll just leave it at that. I don't know anybody that has unlimited money. I know I don't. And so I need to be careful where I send my money. And I have for me personally, if it's on television, I normally don't send money to that because I know the advertising costs. Number two, if they're playing on my emotions, they're definitely not getting my money. Mm. Yeah. That's just kind of my own little thing there. So, we need to find places that we can give. You talk about prayer. Eric, I want to just tell you an experience that we had. Our son Daniel has four children, and his third in line is his daughter, who is 3 years old. And Daniel and his wife, they spend a lot of time with the kids praying. And her mom, and I'm not going to give all the names and everything here, but Daniel's wife had the kids in the living room. They were praying, and my granddaughter said, "Mommy, I need to pray something." And she said, "Would dear God please help the soldiers and protect them from those that are hiding in places trying to kill them."
Mm.
And I was able to tell that story in Israel to a soldier who had just had two RPGs shot at him. One of them went so close to him in back of him that he could feel it. The other one, there was damage, and I'm talking in some generalities here, but he was not injured. And I was able to share with this soldier that. He looked at me and he said, "Mike, maybe that's why I'm still alive today."
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Praise the Lord. Wow.
We never know what our prayers mean.
Yep.
Just that testimony alone has a weightiness that just transcends this space right now, where just to encourage us personally, but to encourage all those who are tuning in to this Light of the Southwest program, to please continue to lift Israel up in your prayers, the IDF, the government, the people, the families, and, the families over here that can't be there to help, to just pray for all of Israel though right now. So thank you for that testimony.
And, in giving, quickly, I have a family that's part of our congregation here. And everybody knows that we give to Israel everything whatever we can. And two young boys, about 8 and 10 years old, came to me one morning, Shabbat, and said, "Mike, we have something to give you." 8 and 10 years old, they had been saving to buy a Xbox or PlayStation or whatever game controller there is out there now. And they said, "We have decided that we want to send that money to Israel." They'd gone to their mom and dad and told them before they got to our congregation. And their mom and dad now said, "No, wait a minute. Are you sure?" And they said, "Mom, Dad, we've been talking about this for 3 days. It's our decision. It's our money.
Wow.
And we want to give this to Mike, and we want him to send it to Israel." What do you do with that?
Yeah.
Two young boys who have never set foot in the land, but yet they have a love for the land and the people and the cause that is beyond comprehension to me.
Amazing.
That is amazing. I know we had gotten together at our congregation, and we had printed up all the pictures of the hostages, of course, and everybody was praying psalms over them. And for the younger kids, they had painted chairs. All of our kids in our congregation had painted chairs and had the face of one of the children. And every Shabbat service, our kids were praying over a particular child that was sort of assigned to them. And when the first round of hostages came around, my son was so ecstatic when he saw the name of his particular person of being released. And he ran up to me and he said, "Dad, our prayers worked." And it was, you know, those are the things where God's teaching them their faith, and to know and understand that their prayers work, and that, you know, sending a gift is how we are grafted into the house. We are one with Israel, and even our children are getting to observe this on a level that we never got to observe in the churches we grew up in. I never had that connection that I'm seeing in the youth today, and they're the ones that are going to take it in from this world into the messianic kingdom, right? It's like that first generation of kids coming out of Egypt, but that second generation gets to inherit the kingdom. And I feel like our kids are taking it to a level that we can only imagine.
If you don't mind, I'd like to share that story in Israel with some friends.
Yes, of mine. Okay. Yes.
Anything they can do to be encouraged right now. So I'll figure out a way to share that with some folks in Israel.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. So what are some of the ministries in Israel that you're support or you're working with, and share a little bit about that, what they're doing?
I don't really work with a lot of ministries. I figure they've got their own thing going. I work with in the Old City a lot. I have some contacts there that I trust with everything I have. And so we're able to donate. The Old City is a place, the Old City of Jerusalem is a place that is really forgotten about. There's a lot of poverty there. There's a lot of, it's a difficult place to live in. And so we help with various things. I mean, you know, we've bought appliances, we've set up nurseries. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on to a person who needed a new pair of shoes. You know, whatever the need is, we try to do that. Yeah. We work in some of the communities up in the Judea Samaria region. Been able to help with drones and technology and various things. I do have some contacts with the IDF, which are we used to be able to have some interaction. More interaction with the IDF than we do now, basically because of the liberal section of Europe, and even in Israel, the very liberal section group there, they would try to, you know, buy meals and whatever and infiltrate and then start to try to bribe the soldiers. So it's a very difficult thing right now to. You know, and I've spent 25 years in Israel developing trust. Relationships. That's what it's all about. You know, we've got people that nothing against people teach, but you know, we've all heard about the four levels of Torah. You know, the Ramats and all those things. I think the highest level of Torah is relationship. Mm. And when Yeshua was asked about the greatest commandment, he said, "Love Elohim with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself," which is relationship. So we do that. As far as a ministry goes, that I can kind of push people toward is Hayavel.
Yeah.
Hayavel, Tommy Waller, and I'll be speaking. Where the conference is totally, we've got a place in North Georgia next weekend. It's totally packed already, so there's no reason for me to say
praise the Lord. That's great though. Wow. Yeah,
it may be online, and so if people are on my podcast or listening to me next week online, I'll announce that. But
Wonderful.
I'll be working with Josh Waller over there. Yeah. And also, my son Daniel and Ryan and David are coming in to do worship, which is what we do at, we work together at Revive in Nashville. We've done that for a few years. Hyattville is an amazing, amazing thing. Tommy, 20 years ago, was on a tour up at the Mount of Blessing with Ephraim Frank, Ephraim and Ramona. And he looked at Nir Levy, the owner of Harbor Cobb Winery. And Nir said, you know, we came to Harbor Cobb, the Mount of Blessing. We started to grow grapes here. And now it's time for harvest. And we don't have the people. And Tommy said, well, what do we need to do? He just saw a need. Because in Israel, you don't just read prophecy. You are prophecy.
Yeah.
You become prophecy.
Yeah.
So the volunteer work, I was just with them earlier in the month. The volunteer, the work they do. If anybody has a young person, a youth, grandson, granddaughter, whatever, there is, in my opinion, no greater gift that you could give them than to send them to the Mount of Blessing for 3 weeks with Hyattville.
Wow, I just got
an email this morning from a young man that I know and respect highly. And he told me of the interaction that's happened. We actually prayed over him a few weeks before he left at our congregation. And he just sent me a note this morning and said, Mr. Mike, those prayers are answered. I'm not coming back as the same person.
We can testify something similar. We had one of our young people from our community who volunteered with Hyattville over December and into January. Mm-hmm. And it was a great blessing for our community to have him there to hear the reports. And when he came back, he is a different person.
Yeah.
You see a spiritual growth. Oh, yeah. And a newness in him that is just almost, it's amazing.
Right.
It's such a blessing. And on that note, a little beautiful thing that's happening is our daughter is about to make her bat mitzvah. And her bat mitzvah project is to raise money to send a volunteer to Hyattville.
Yeah.
So it's just a blessing to see that heart for Israel. That Hyattville, they just share the love of Yeshua, of Hashem, by their deeds.
That's
beautiful.
Yeah.
Would you have your daughter contact me? I'd like to be involved in that.
We will definitely do that. Thank you. She's got a beautiful heart for the Lord, Miss Lila. So, yes, we will. Thank you, Mr. Michael.
I may know who that is. So.
Yeah.
But
it's so fun listening to how you're connecting with the greater Messianic community and how there isn't it's all about unity and being a cog with Israel and the Jewish people and how small a world this is, because our ministries, we might not have been together, but we know so many people in common, and we're beautifully weaved together. I'm thinking about Miss Teresa Bates. What's the name of Teresa's ministry?
Peaceful Passages.
And how she's been a longstanding friend of yours and ours. She's been at our home so many times, and we love her so much. But there's so many different ministries, and I know that our lives are woven together here, and all of it is pointed at making, you know, a stronger, not stronger, that's not the right word, just blessing Israel. And it's like, bless my people and you will be blessed. And it's just, again, it's so exciting to see the youth take it to a whole other level. I went to a summer camp a couple years ago with the Messianic community. It was great. And I saw the youth play and worship God. And it was just them. It was all there. It was just their players, their singers, their musicians. And I watched and heard them sing. And the spirit was just, again, like at a different level than I've ever experienced. And it's just like this next generation is so blessed, and I'm so excited for them that we get to live in this generation and we get to see the coming of Mashiach, right? Mashiach ben David, and we're going to see it happen, and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I've been very blessed to have worked with the young adults last couple of years at Revive. And I've come up with something on what you said there, Eric, is I don't call them the next generation. I look at them and say, you're not really the next generation, because to be next means that I got to die out before you do something. So I call them the rising generation. I call them the rising generation because we need to work together. And yes. I'll tell them, you know, I'll say to them, you need me whether you like it or not. Because you need my wisdom. Okay. I've been around most of the young people I work with, I'm twice their age. And I'll tell them, you know, if you're hanging around people if all you're hanging around is people that are your age,
right,
you're going to only have the wisdom of people your age, and that should scare you.
Yep, that's right.
And for me, I need them because I need their energy. Mm-hmm. When I'm around them, I mean, you know, when I do the program, we record on Monday nights with Daniel and Ryan and David, I mean, I'm energized. When I hit that record button, I'm energized because of their energy. And I say, you know, I tell them, listen, if all I hang out with people, you know, around is people like, you know, they're my age, I'm only going to have the energy of people my age. It's like one step from a coffin sometimes. Just saying.
That's great. I think, I don't know. We were talking about the Torah portion this morning with the kids. This week it's Kitisa.
Yeah.
One of the commentaries that we watched was just a real short thing, but the woman highlighted how when Moshe left, they couldn't see that figure anymore. And so they fell prey to building the golden calf, something that they could see. But I think in relation to our conversation right now, you know, there is a deficit when the older, wiser teachers in our midst, when we get too much of a distance between them, and then it puts us in a place of weakness, of falling to our own devices and means. And we need
the Moshe's in the world in our face. Yeah.
As a teacher that's been around for a while, sometimes the hardest thing is being relevant. I find that, you know, that I strive on a weekly basis. I just taught that Torah portion. It'll be coming out tomorrow. I want things to be relevant. I've got a lady that's part of our congregation now. I kid her all the time. I met her at Revive this past year in Nashville, her and her husband. And so they've been coming. The first time they came, she looked at me and she said, well, my rule is if I walk out the door and I don't have anything that I can do with what I've heard, I don't come back. And I said, okay, challenge taken. Well, she's been with us now for 3 months, and it's just been so much fun because being relevant. I mean, my own philosophy of teaching, and this is why I left. As a Southern Baptist, this is one of the reasons I left. When I was a young person, I didn't see it being relevant. My grandmother was a godly woman, my mother, but you know, they tried to teach me the Bible stories of Bible characters, which I don't do. I don't teach Bible stories of Bible characters. I teach accounts of real people.
Mm-hmm.
Real life. And the struggles they went through. And so, you know, I always, those 14 or so years that I was walking away from God, I always had a fear of him. I always had a respect. That didn't really change my lifestyle much. But, you know, it was kind of like the people that said they were hanging out with him, I had some issues with. Truth be told, I still do. you know, that's another subject that gets me in trouble. But, you know, I didn't see how this scripture that they were talking about was relevant to my life today. And so if it's not relevant to my life today, I only have so many hours in the day. So if we're talking about is, you know, the mansion over the hillside, or, you know, I'll fly away, oh glory, and all of those things, how do I live out today? So, you know, with the youth, I teach on the five questions of life, that everybody, every single person on the planet, no matter if they're a CEO, a billionaire, or a person that's homeless under a bridge, everybody's asking the same questions. But the vast majority of people will die never even knowing they were asking, which means they will die never answering.
What are those five questions?
Funny you should ask. Holly, I paused there because I have said that specific, just like I said it, probably hundreds of times to people. And most adults will walk away and never ask what those five questions are.
That's surprising. Some like,
yeah.
It's a sick society we live in. So the five questions are this: who am I? Where am I from? What have I been given? What will I do with it?
Yeah.
And what will be the result of the first four questions?
Wow. I feel like you just summed up Abraham's life. Who am I?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, I have, and this is, you know, this is one of the programs that we did originally on Life on Purpose. So it's on there, but you know, I tell the youth that I asked them, you know, where's the richest place on earth? And, you know, I get answers like, you know, Fort Knox or the bank or something like that. But truthfully, the richest place on earth is a cemetery. Because it's filled with buried potential.
Huh. Whoa. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting that you put it that way, because it connected me immediately to the parable of the talents. And I'd never, I never thought about it in relation to the buried potential.
Well, if you know, I like to walk around cemeteries. It's kind of weird, I know, but I think it's great because every tombstone has a few things in common. Number one, they have a name. Number two, they have an epitaph, which is, as a pastor that's done numerous funerals, that epitaph is a lot of times a lie that somebody came up with to say about a person they didn't like. It's just the truth, okay? But then on that tombstone are two dates.
Yeah.
The day that you came in and the day you left. But in the end, everything on that tombstone, Holly, is really irrelevant. The only thing on that tombstone that's symbolic of something is the dash between the two dates. Because that's your life.
Yep.
What you do in this world will be represented by a dash between two dates.
May that dash be Yeshua.
Yeah.
Wow, that's weighty. Thank you for...
I feel like we've been talking to Holly and I, and it's just like, you know, tomorrow, sometimes we focus on tomorrow, what's tomorrow, and you realize that tomorrow's really it's not really there, you know, all you have is today, right now. And then, so being focused on tomorrow is completely wrong. And then being focused on yesterday that's the past. You can't change anything. You got to it's like a simulator. We're in a simulation and all we really have is right now. What are you going to do with right now? Because Tomorrow is a program that's not written, and it's actually a lie. There isn't a tomorrow. There is tomorrow, but it's not like you can do anything about that right now. Yeah. And then, you know, to be focused on today throws or yesterday. It's just you have to. God gave you tools right now to do something, in the world. Today's task was wake up, make a cup of coffee, and let's go talk to Mike. And that was this is amazing because we get to talk about Hashem, what he's doing in the world. Mm-hmm. But on some level, all of us have a choice to go and talk about and learn and spread the gospel on some way, whether it's the person that's serving you the coffee or whether it's, the person at the stoplight. I don't know. But that's all you have, right? All we have is right now.
That absolutely. Dash between the
that dash the between dates. The dates.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. It's very special to have this opportunity to visit with you. As Eric said, our dear friend Teresa, has a lot of her ministry is amazing and our relationship with her. Mm-hmm. But we called her. We're like, Teresa, give us a little bit of a heads up about Mr. Mike. We know you're good friends and we know, you respect him a lot. Well, she has a lot of wonderful things to say about you. And we love her dearly. And we love you dearly because she loves you. And now we've gotten to meet you and getting to hear your story and your heart. And it's beautiful. And, one thing she said was about how you have that heart to give and are very generous, but she trusts you and how the Father leads you to give directly to people over in the land. So I do want to encourage our viewers today to log on to join2hashem.org, find out more about Michael Clayton, get connected with the different ministries or outlets he has, but also, pray about it, how Hashem might want you to give. And we can say join2hashem.org. They're giving directly to people in Israel. And if you want to help and serve the Lord that way, what a beautiful mitzvah that would be. So,
yeah. Hmm. And Michael, I guess before we go, is there any future tours coming up that you know of or plans? I know you said you got a conference coming up next week. That's probably going to be a little bit after this show airs. But anything else on the calendar that you see out there in the next few months?
Right now, I have some speaking engagements that I'm working on. If there's anyone, I still travel. I do four broadcasts. I pastor a congregation here called Life Assembly. But when I started this about 2 years ago, I told the people, I said, I still travel, and they're a wonderful group. We call it, it's Kahal Chaim, which is Life Assembly. And I know that the word Kahal is not going to all the Hebrew there, but it literally means a group of people that are called to the shepherd's staff. Mm-hmm. But I found out in Israel this time that there's a little bit extra meaning to it. It's that it's a group of people that are called to the shepherd's staff that are not concerned about themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I told him, I said, I'd be traveling. So if, people want me to come and speak about Israel or the tabernacle or, to the youth, I can be the old guy in the room. It's cool with me. I enjoy it so much. But, anybody would like me to come, I'd be glad to reach me through my website. I do have this really unique thing that I do, is if you email me, I really return my emails.
Nice.
Yeah. You really return them?
I actually do. Yeah, in fact, if you call me, I'll even answer the phone. Voicemail. Because, at first, if I don't know you, I'm not sure if you're concerned about my car insurance or something. But yeah, I have that. I have the four broadcasts I do that people would sign up for the newsletter on that. They can subscribe to my YouTube channel and all those things.
Okay.
From there, we do have a trip planned to Israel in September. I'm not taking any deposits right now. All I'm doing is taking commitments because I don't know what the situation is going to be looking like between now and then.
Right.
So please, if somebody wants to go and they commit, they can commit to go. All you have to do is email me. I'd be glad to put them on a list. But please don't send me a commitment and you don't have the funds to do so. You know, okay, I'm going to trust God. Well, okay, that's fine. But when, you know, when it comes through, don't put me out like that. It's just, I'm
right.
not do that. So,
okay.
Yeah. Awesome. That sounds like a great way to see Israel in a more intimate way and not just your normal run of the mill tour, but get to go see things that are very real. And like you said, we're not going to go visit Constantine's mom's chapels and stuff.
Yeah. If you want to go to the Church of the Unholy Sepulchre, that's not your tour.
Yeah, no, thank you. I know I probably am not giving enough time to talk about this in depth, but our friend mentioned the traveling tabernacle.
Yeah.
What is this?
I have a representation of the tabernacle. I do about a 5-hour teaching, not on the temple, but on the tabernacle. What we're the Torah portion we're in right now as we're talking.
Yeah.
And at the end of that is a walkthrough to where you're actually washing your hands in the laver. You're lighting the menorah. And so it's very interactive. It's very much the shadow of Messiah, teaching redemption. But it's all about entering into his presence. And guys, if there's anything that I could close the program with is this. If we don't have his presence, as Moshe said in this week's Torah portion, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going anywhere. And we should be echoing today those words of Moshe.
Amen. 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 Well, thank you, everyone. And thank you, Michael, for joining us on this program. For those of you who are out there who are enjoying this content, please put a like and subscribe for our YouTube channel. Also, make any comments on this thread that you're watching it. We are very interactive with our audience, and we'd love to interact and hear from you. But thank you so much, Michael. May many blessings to all your ministry and all you who are watching. May Hashem answer all your prayers, and may he go before you and protect you. May he bring healing, spiritual and physical, to your home and give you all the resources that you need to get through this week. And we'll see you next week. We pray that the Lord blesses you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Shalom. Amen.
Shalom.
Thank you guys. Shalom.